Showtime.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We're live at the Pine until 2 o'clock today. You can email us at nationradio at team1260.com. Very busy show. All kinds of activity going on. Oilers in action tonight. And we welcome Doug McLean from Rogers Sportsnet. Doug, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Oilers play Calgary tonight. They are outmanned, and the Flames still have a shot at a playoff spot. The Oilers have been outscored 34-7 in their last eight games. Is this a case of bringing a knife to a gunfight for the Oilers?
Well, you know, you got a desperate Flames team that have no choice. They got to run the table to get in. And, you know, I mean, they do have six winnable games. So, you know, I mean, Calgary's going to bring it all. I mean, they didn't play very well in San Jose the other night. So, you know, and Edmonton's coming off a horrific performance in, St. Louis where they were so bad?
Yeah. Now the Flames.
Bad isn't the word for it.
No, you're right. It was a very poor performance.
10 shots on goal, none in the third period. That can't be accurate, was it?
No, that was what I had read. So it's
when it's that way. When it's that way, Tom's got to start just telling them on the bench that when they get to center ice, shoot it on net, just so it doesn't look so bad.
Right, and then chase towards the net and hope for a turnover in the corner or something like that.
No, just get it on net so the stats don't look bad. Don't worry about scoring.
So
it's all about appearance when you see the stats.
Well, there you go. Now, the fans are online. They're renewing season tickets at a 90% clip here in Edmonton. That's an independent source for the Oilers. After what has been a trying season, if this scorched earth rebuild works, do you see it ever happening in another Canadian NHL city?
I don't think you'll see it as drastic. I think Calgary's on the verge of having to rebuild their team, no doubt about that. Ottawa has started that process. You know, I don't think you'll see maybe it as drastic as Edmonton, where they've really torn it down. So, but, I mean, you look at Calgary and Ottawa, I mean, where are they going to be next year? I mean, Calgary's one of the oldest teams in the league. A lot of money committed at their contracts. You like the character of their group, and you like lots of things about them, but I don't see a long-term winner there, I'll tell you that.
If you're Steve Tambellini and you know history tells you that you might not be around when this thing gets really good, how difficult is it to trade a Dustin Penner at the deadline for futures?
I didn't mind the move in Penner. I don't think he's a guy you're gonna, you know, I like Dustin Penner. I just don't think he's a long-term guy that isn't irreplaceable. I think if you got a couple of draft picks for him, a prospect in the defenseman Tolbert, I thought it was a reasonably good deal for Steve. And Hemsky, there was a lot of talk about him. I wish he'd get his health, because he can help them, you know, as they rebuild. But I like Penner, but I don't think it's a big loss. Would you have kept him? Yeah, 30 goal guys are hard to find, and he's a big body. But to me, he's a second-line guy, and that's where he has to be, because he doesn't have the motivation to be a top guy.
Do the Oilers really have to go out and replace him, though, in the summer with a big, big body for the top six forward group? Because they really don't have one of those now.
Yeah, they've got to find some top six guys. And bigger body guys, character guys. I think if the Leafs were to walk from a Clark MacArthur type of kid, I think he'd be a real nice fit with them. And I said that here the other day, that if Toronto get cute and don't sign him, 25 years of age, a 20 goal guy, I think he'd be that type of guy, would be a great fit for the Oilers. He can score his 20. He's a two way guy. He competes hard. So I think that's the type of guy they really need to surround their young guys with, more than a Penner type of guy.
You mentioned it a while ago. With regard to Hemsky, you sat in the GM chair for years. If you're looking at a guy like Hemsky, but he does have that injury and he may be rehabbing even as training camp opens, is that something that's enough to scare you off of making an offer?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, it didn't get going at the deadline. I think too many people were concerned about his health. It's been a real history, and it's too bad, because he is a talented guy that makes people around him better, and lots of teams could have used him, but there's no doubt about that. I had an interesting talk to Dean Lombardi right after the deadline, and he said, you know, when you sit down and start to write names down as guys you'd like to acquire that you think potentially could be available, and all of a sudden you knock guys out of the box that have had concussions, and you knock guys out of the box that had a history of injuries, it gets real thin out there. So, yeah. I mean, 85 guys with concussions this year in the league. Are you going to trade for a guy that's had concussion issues? Probably not. So, or at least, I mean, you're certainly gambling if you do. So that was interesting coming from Dean.
The Oilers have looked, early in the year, Tom Rennie tried Taylor Hall for a few games at center, and it didn't go badly. He's a terrific talent. Do you think that's something they might revisit in the summertime, depending upon where they go on draft day?
Yeah, maybe. Centermen are unbelievably hard to find. Like, I could never get one in Columbus for Nash. I mean, I drafted Brassard 6, and I hope Brule. I was hoping they would be the centermen of the future because they were such great juniors. And they're hard to find. They really are hard to find. Columbus still haven't got a guy for Nash. I mean, Brassard is coming along, but it just takes a long time. I mean, it's such a valuable position, and Hall is so good on the wing. If he could become that big power centerman, that would be really important for their team, because wingers are a lot easier to find than those big centermen that, you know, that every good franchise, every winning franchise has.
What's your opinion on Pajarvi moving forward? I know you've seen him a bit. He's got good speed, maybe not the hands of the other two rookies. Do you see him as being more of a two-way forward moving forward?
Yeah, I see him as a real valuable top six guy with that speed and skill set. You know, I mean, it's gonna learning curve for him. It's a big chance transition, but I really like the kid as a player. I mean, those three young guys have got, you know, different elements, but they're all very, very good young players. So the fans should be excited about that core group there.
Talking to Doug McLean from Rogers Sportsnet on Nation Radio, Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. The kid Omar, I've noticed he's a hot dog, and I've noticed recently he seems to be paying a little bit of a price, hooking, grabbing, running him over, and he's not getting the calls. Is that something that he's paying a heavy price for with his hot dog style on top of the fact that he's a rookie?
Yeah, I don't know that that's really unusual. I mean, he made a big name for himself on a couple of great moves. I mean, I kind of liked him, to be quite honest. I wasn't coaching against him or managing against him, or playing against him, but I kind of liked him. I mean, I think he's one of those guys. Is he like a Robbie Shrimp type of guy? Does he ever really become a real top guy? I don't know him well enough to really comment, but I've sort of gotten a kick out of him, to be quite honest. Yeah, you pay a little price for that, but eventually that goes away and you just become another NHL player.
Doug, this summer the Oilers are very likely to buy out Sheldon Surrey, and then the next veteran that they might have to look at doing something with is Nikolai Habibulin, whose game has eroded in midway through a four-year contract. As a general manager, former general manager, you've got a kid in Dubnyk, and you've got this summer to maybe shop for a guy who could step in if Habibulin falters again next fall. Do you really look at that position as being a main area to address?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think that's a real concern. I mean, Habibulin is a battler, and he's had some injury issues. But you know what? I don't think that's really would be their number one priority. You can always find a backup for Dubnyk. You can find, if Dubnyk continues to develop, you can find somebody mid-season if Habibulin's having injury problems. But there's a lot of money there. You know, you've got to hope that he can salvage at least another year before you really go down that road. And, you know, he's a character guy. It wouldn't surprise me he'll bounce back.
Changing gears a little bit, Columbus has struggled again this year. You know, you mentioned about injuries, and there's a sense there that there's going to be a lot of pressure on your predecessor, Scott Housen, during this summertime. What's the problem there? Is it just injuries or just not being able to get over the hump in a very difficult conference?
Well, they got a real good group of young players there. There's no doubt about that. I mean, obviously with Nash and Brassard and Voracek, and, you know, Russell's a good young kid. And, you know, I think they've got a pretty solid core group of kids. And I think his biggest problem, Scott's, was the five guys he brought in, starting with Husilius at 4.75 and going from there to Morrow at 1.8 and Chris Clark at 2.8 and, I mean, Paulson at 2.75 and Commodore at 3.75. That's $16 million in five guys that didn't help you win one game this year. Not one game.
That's tragic.
You're a budget team. That's frightening. So, That's their challenge, is to find guys. And it's not easy. It's not easy because it's hard to get guys to go there. You got to overpay. It's not unlike Edmonton.
Yeah, very similar. With that in mind, do you think the first-round pick, which is likely to be a top 10, do you think that's maybe in play this summer for Columbus?
You know, it might be. I mean, their drafting has been mediocre, obviously. Filatov is a major bust right now. I mean, I think he's in play. He's a guy that just simply, you know, I mean, you pick a guy like that fifth overall. I mean, we all, and he was that's not a Scott Housen mistake, in my opinion. I mean, it's like when I took Zhirdev at four, everybody in hockey had him in the top five. Everybody. There wasn't a GM in the league that had him under the top five. And yet today it was a bad pick, and everybody talks about it. But Filatov was a good pick at five. Lots of people love this guy. It just hasn't worked out. So I think they're at the stage that Mason could be in play this summer because do they take a run at a Briscaleoff? Do they take a run at a Vakoon? And I think they've got to make the playoffs. They're going to be in dire straits to sell tickets there this summer. This year they were 11,000, 12,000 a lot of nights, week nights. So it's really a tough time there.
For sure. A couple of quick draft questions to close off. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is ripping it up in Red Deer. He scored 2-2 last night in a win over the Oil Kings. But the Oilers' depth chart screams for Adam Larson. Can they pass on the defenseman to take the center, or do they really have to take that defenseman this time around?
Oh, it's a really tough decision. I love Hopkins, and I really like Larson. I saw Larson, to be honest, just at the World Junior, where he was a young kid playing in a really tough tournament, you know, where Hopkins didn't make Team Canada. So I saw Hopkins once at in the prospects game, and I really, really like this kid, the way he makes plays. He really reminds me a lot of a Brad Richards type with his vision. But it's a philosophical situation for them. They really need somebody to go with Whitney to rebuild their back end. Larson would be a real nice component, but really it's hard to go buy a Hopkins, I'll tell you that.
Two quick ones. The trade deadline day, is that your busiest day of the year?
Oh, it's busy, but I don't get too carried away with it.
I love the promo.
Compared to being a GM, it's not a very busy day. No, it's a long day, but I wouldn't say it's busy.
I love the promo where you looked very expert walking along the street, and it looked like Kiprios was on his way to pick up his kids at some class. He was busy or something. The promo made you look good.
He said that I was out buying him a coffee in a newspaper because he's so busy. don't read a lot into the thing. It wasn't that busy, and I'm not that busy, and it's a pretty easy job.
Are you too busy to follow your UNB former college team?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm just was watching the McGill Alberta game, so mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see how UNB does.
Yeah, they're playing Western at 7:30 Eastern tonight, right?
Right.
All right.
It's fun.
Yeah, Doug, thanks so much. We really appreciate your time.
Take care, bud.
All right. Doug McLean from Rogers Sportsnet over a litany of things. I wanted to talk to him about his idea of the return for Penner and maybe some draft things, and then a little insight into Columbus, because I know when he left Columbus, it was like, okay, now we're going to, you know, move on up, and it really hasn't happened. And Scott Housen has a lot of respect in the National Hockey League and was described as being one of those really smart young execs, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and it appears as though, at least for now, in Columbus, it really hasn't happened. This is Nation Radio, live at the Pine on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. It's just past 12:30. Up next, we'll talk to Derek Zona from Copper and Blue.